Good morning to you. If you would open your Bibles, we'll start in the book of Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. Great to have any visitors. We do have some people who are out of town today and certainly pray for, you know, their safe travels, obviously. And it is that time of year. I just kind of think 2025 has certainly gone by really fast, hasn't it? And has been a roller coaster of a year, I think, for some of us in a lot of ways. And it's been one of those where God is still good and God has still blessed us. You know, sometimes in life we make plans for the year and we, Lord willing, hope to have a planning meeting, right? And sometimes, though, in life things don't always go according to the way we, plan them. And sometimes it's we would call trials or difficulties in life. And being the month of November, we are considering the concept of from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in particularly there, I think it's verse 18, when it says, give thanks in all circumstances. How do we do that? It's one thing, hey, to give God thanks when everything's going great and there are no problems in life and there is a time of plenty. And we talked about that last week. Actually, the opposite often can happen when things are good. That's when we forget God and turn away from God and as a result are no longer thankful to God. But I've seen other people in times of problems and trials to turn away from God too. So when the Bible says to give thanks all the time, how do we do that? I mean, aren't we all individuals who are going through life seeking at almost all costs, perhaps to a fault, to try to avoid any kind of hardship in life? Nobody, when trials come or problems come in life, do we get real excited and go, all right, you know, we would rather not walk down that path. But sometimes those paths are unavoidable. And even in those dark paths, we give thanks. Well, first off this morning, I'd like you to consider, first off, what I would call reasons for hardships in life. Reasons for times of problems and times of trials or times of poverty, you know, whatever that may be, by the way. You know, that could be a health scare, that could be a health problem, that could be, you know, our days we know for certain are numbered, or it could be someone we love is in that situation, right? It could be the loss of a job. It could be a serious conflict with a family member, a loved one. You know, it could be a problem at work. It could be a problem with your children. It could be, you know, whatever. The economy has, things aren't getting cheaper, really, are they? You know what I mean? I mean, eggs did go down a little bit, but, you know, it could be, You put in the plug there for your life. Why is that? Well, sometimes hardships in life come because of the sins of others. And that's really, in one sense, one of the things we learned from Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, there's a list of sins really starting in verse 25 on. And, well, really verse 22 on. And, you know, when you get down later on in Romans chapter 1, for instance, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, and they did those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Here's a list of sins here. And if you, by the way, if you study each of these sins individually, they bring hardships in the lives of others oftentimes. I'll give you an example. Look at verse 29 and look at the word coveting. You know, when the Bible says money is the root of all kinds of evil in 1 Timothy 6:10, that's coveting, by the way. That is a greedy desire for more and a disregard for your fellow man in order to have that greedy desire for more. So sometimes in order to make more products, as far as food on the shelf or medicine in the cabinet, products are made cheaper in value yet cost more the day before. Regardless, perhaps, if this medicine will help you or not, maybe we can say we live in a day that sometimes some medicines hurt us long term or could possibly end our lives sooner, ultimately. Why? Because of the coveting of some. Sometimes that affects negatively the lives of others. Do you know, in Chicago, Illinois, last year, there was an average of 11 murders a week. New York City last year averaged around 7 murders a week. Los Angeles averaged around 5 murders a week. And I don't know about you, but if you could go and look up each individual tragedy there, somebody lost a mother. Somebody lost a father. Somebody lost a son or a daughter. That's a trial in their life, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Murder, as Romans 1 talks about. By the way, let me just say this. It's not a gun problem. The cities, and this isn't a political spin, this is just telling truth. The cities that have the highest rates of murder have the strictest gun laws. And if we want to solve the problem of sin, in particular murder, it's not taking away guns. People are just going to find a way to kill other people anyway. It's a heart problem, isn't it? It's of how we value man in God's image kind of problem, right? I mean, I can go through the list of Romans chapter 1. And, you know, I have another one, for instance. Drop down as you keep reading in verse 29 and look at verse 30. It talks about inventors of evil. Do you realize all the ways today we can be scammed online? What was it? 2 years ago, I was at a West Virginia Christian Athletic tournament, a soccer tournament, and I got a phone call and a text message from all of you, literally almost at the same time, of, hey, somebody with proclaiming to be you has texted me wanting money. And I said, don't pay attention to that. It's a scam. They contacted everybody in our directory, and then they did the same thing with everybody's emails, right? I mean, mankind is getting more and more clever on and through technology today on how to scam people, you know, literally. And I tell you what, sometimes they'll take people for a lot of money too. They really will. The sins of others. Let's still stay in this text though, shall we? Hardships in life often come also because of the sins of our own. In fact, let me just say this from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 2. One of the things that's being said in Romans chapter 2 ultimately is, hey, you may be a Christian and you may be looking at the world saying, yes, that's the world, and the world brings all these problems on me. But yet Romans 2 says, we condemn ourselves when we don't examine ourselves and often find that we're guilty of the very sins at times. In other words, think about this for a moment. Sometimes there are hardships in life, and you know who's to blame? Not everybody else, but you or me, right? We're living in a time, you've heard me say this before, where parents are being disowned by their children as they become young adults. And literally, there's an idea today of divorcing your parents because you disagree with them religiously or politically. That's becoming more and more common, and it is devastating parents and grandparents. But you know who ultimately will pay for that? The very young adults who are doing that right now. You know why? Because they're setting a precedent that if they have kids and their kids get older, what do you think their kids are going to do to them? What goes around oftentimes comes around, and because of the fact of the sins of our own choices. We live in a culture where, you know, I have a lot of friends outside of this congregation. And you know, one of the things that I have seen is the idea of a couple splitting in divorce and then one, either the husband or a wife, out of vengeance, trying to keep the kids away from their spouse for illegitimate reasons. I notice I said out of vengeance, not out of safety or anything like that. And you want to know what happens oftentimes? Kids see that. that maybe mom wasn't a bad person after all, or dad wasn't a bad guy after all, and when they grow up, they will be incredibly resentful. You brought it on yourself. And I can go through the list a lot of times. When we think of trials in life, church, you know, sometimes there is collateral damage. We do suffer things because of others, but other times we suffer hardship because of our own sins. And the sooner we admit to that and consider that and own up to that, we can change that. Number three, sometimes hardships in life come as a result of persecution. Persecution for our faith. You know, I call your attention over to the book of Acts and in Acts chapters 4 through 8, because something happens here that is rather unique. You know, after the church is first established, you know, it is because it's so new, there's not much of a backlash for early Christians, right? But give it maybe a month, within a year, there's backlash. And starting in Acts chapter 4 all the way to Acts chapter 8, we read of a lot of hardships the early church faced. For instance, the early church would have been hated by the Jewish community because they have left the law of Moses and now they're following Christ. And they were hated by people. They were arrested multiple times. In Acts chapter 4 and in Acts chapter 5, the apostles are arrested at least twice. They are arraigned and are threatened. Don't preach the gospel anymore. They are beaten. They are, when you go with Stephen in Acts chapter 6 to Acts chapter 8, are slandered. Things are said about them that are just simply not true. And then eventually, they're killed. Stephen being the first of them. And then following that, there's the Bible, when you get to Acts chapter 8, and talks about how a great persecution arose on the church. People are being arrested. People are being killed just for being Christians. And so sometimes in life, by the way, you may endure hardship because you've decided to follow Jesus. Sometimes you might lose a friend because you are believing what Jesus believes. Sometimes your family may even disown you because you've decided to be a Christian according to the scriptures, right? Persecution. The last two, maybe we'll put together, is sometimes we go through hardships in life just because of the fact, church, they're just the general cycles of life. You know what I mean? I'll give you some examples from Scripture. In Acts chapter 9, a lady named Tabitha dies. The Bible doesn't say she died because of her sins or the sins of anybody else. She was just an older lady and was sick and through the aging process died. I mean, there's nothing else to it other than that. It's the cycle of life. And that brought hardship to her friends and family as a result of that, right? And that's the thing. Sometimes there are problems in life and, you know, it's just the cycle of life. It's the routine thing that everybody eventually will face in life, right? The same thing could be said maybe with natural disasters. You know, in Acts chapter 11, I'll give you an example. There was an up-and-coming famine in the land of Israel, in particular in Jerusalem. And so the early church, because God revealed it to them, began preparing for it. You know, they began sending aid to the Christians in Jerusalem, and it did so for several years as a result of that, by the way. Nowhere, though, does the Bible say why that famine occurred. It's just a natural cycle of life. Not every time that there's a tornado or an earthquake do we definitely know the specific reason for that. So it happened, but we don't know why. And indeed, there are sometimes things in your life where you go, Dale, I'm going through such and such. And I don't think it was because of the sins of others, and I'm trying to live right. I don't think it was because of my own sins. Is this a normal routine hardship in life? I don't know. So is it another category, right? But the thing is none of us are getting out of this world alive. And none of us are getting out of this world unharmed without any trouble. It happens. So in those times, and in the time that we have remaining, actually, I'd like to give you just five general principles. And I want you to go in your Bibles to James chapter 1 with me real quickly. James chapter 1. I want to give you five principles. The first three are from James chapter 1 that in these whatever times and whatever reasons of difficulty we face, we can really give thanks to God for them. Here they are. Number one, whenever we go through difficult times in life, you know something? Don't they remind us of things eternal? You know, there's a passage in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1. I'm going to paraphrase it. The Bible says, since you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he says in verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above rather than things on the earth. That is a passage there that's a blessing to your life and my life. It really is. Because here's why. If you and I try to look at life through the lenses of eternity, through the perspective from God's lenses, right? How big are our problems really? You know what I mean? You know, Caleb and I last night, we were watching, of course you guys don't care about soccer, he and I does. We were watching the Columbus Crew, right? And you know what happened? They lost and their season is over. And I'll tell you what, I didn't get any sleep at night. I was so mad. No, that wasn't the case, actually. But perhaps for some people, maybe that was the case. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of like in light of setting our mind on things above, you know, a sporting event, is it that big of a deal? And we can go through the list and with things in life. You know, there are people in our lives that we don't like. We have to love them, but there are people who are rude to us. And it's like, well, what did I do to you? I don't know why this person doesn't like me, but I don't know what I did to you. But you just, maybe that's just your personality. You hate everybody. I don't know. But there are people in life that we don't like. The question is, through the lenses of eternity, how big of a deal is it? You know what I mean? How important really is it? How much sleep should we really lose over it? And should we ever dwell upon somebody not liking us and mistreating us to the point that we want them to go to hell? No. In fact, when we look at people who don't like us and mistreat us, when we look at them through the learned lenses of setting our mind of things above, that helps us to love them because it's like, you know, this person may be a terrible person, but I still want them to go to heaven, right? Well, what's my point? Sometimes it's in the trials and hardships of life that we are reminded of things eternal. Look with me at James chapter 1 and look at verses 9 through 11 here. Notice the Bible says, let the lowly brother glory in his own exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass and its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Now listen, James is not talking just saying or exclusively saying you are an evil person if you have a lot of money. Because the truth is that would be every single one of us compared to 2,000 years ago and the rest of the world. What he's saying here is the rich person is the person that doesn't care anything for God, that is wholly devoted to the here and now, right? And guess what's going to happen? One day he's going to die. He's a flower that's eventually going to die in the fall. You understand that? And if your purpose and meaning to life and focus of life is the here and now, it's a miserable thing. But the poor man, who, by the way, probably had a harder life, was also the man in context here who lived for the Lord. And you know what? They both died. But it's the man who lived for God who could glory in his exaltation. You know, church, there are times in our lives, in other words, when our health may fail or our health may be a concern or a scare or somebody we love, And it's in those times we realize there's a life to come. You know, there are times in our lives where we don't always want to do what God says, and our faith sometimes may be challenged. And we're reminded from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 when Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us." It's those moments that reminds us of things eternal. It's the moments when we live in a world that is so sin-sick and sin-infested and war-torn and drama-filled that we step back finally as Christians and go, you know what, there's a better life. And you know what, I'm looking forward to that. So hardships can remind us of things eternal. Number two, hardships in life also can see our need or realize our need for God. You know, maybe if your hardships in life are hardships we've brought upon ourselves, that's what the Bible says being blessed are the poor in spirit in Matthew 5. You're beaten down with life circumstances. You'd be realizing your poverty, spiritual poverty, and you need God. And so sometimes our sins and our lack of handling situations right in life because we're rejecting the guidance of God ultimately in our life are actually times where they serve as kind of the check engine light in our heart to see that we need God in our life. We need His forgiveness. We need His guidance. More specifically, in the text here in James chapter 1, when in context it's speaking of trials, the Bible says in verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." What's he saying here? What's he saying is sometimes in difficult situations, we come to a point in our life and we say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this." And James says, when you come to that point in life, what do? Pray. Pray about it. Why? Because I don't know about you, but whenever you walk through those dark trails and trials of life, have you ever noticed you pray a lot more? Have you ever noticed when you think of the idea of in need of wisdom of how to handle difficult situations, not only do we often pray more, but do we find ourselves studying the scriptures more? We enjoy going to Bible class. We might even like the sermon once in a while, right? When we come to worship God, the lyrics of the songs that we sing, they have a deeper meaning than maybe what they've had ultimately before. And that's my point. My point is this. In those difficult moments, we can thank God because He's reminding us of things eternal, but also we can thank God because we also come to realize we need Him in our life. Number three, trials and hardships in life can also serve as a way of reforming our character. In other words, when we walk through that tunnel and we come out on the other end, how often have we become a better person? In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Why? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What's he saying there? He's saying this. Trials sometimes are kind of like exercise. I don't know too many people that just love getting up and going running or doing some kind of aerobics or lifting, you know, whatever kind of exercise that may be. You know, I've always tried to make exercise fun by playing basketball. You know what I mean? So even though you're out of breath, you're somewhat having a good time still at the same time, you know, and all that. And so, but exercise is not fun. It doesn't feel good. But it is good for us, right? And sometimes there are moments in life or even though we didn't ask for it, and even though we don't desire it, and even though we don't want it, God places us with hardships. And that testing of our faith, notice the text says, produces patience. What does that word patience mean? It's the idea of I'm not giving up on my faith. In other words, through this hardship in my life, I'm not going to walk alone. I'm going to allow Jesus to walk with me. And as a result of that, I become more like Him. Because notice when in verse 4 it says we let patience have its perfect work, what happens? We become perfect. You know, the word perfect basically means not sinless, by the way. It means you become mature. In other words, it's not until we go through difficulties in life that we spiritually grow up. That sounds a little harsh, but that's sometimes when we reach moments of maturity. Number 4, we can give thanks in times of problems because of the right influence that we have on others. You know, in Acts chapter 9, this man named Saul of Tarsus becomes a Christian. And I think this is a fascinating thing. I want you to consider this morning. This man, the Apostle Paul, has been a blessing on my life and on your life. And let me share with you why. After he becomes a Christian, here is a guy who was so high-ranking in Judaism. Here is a guy that was sincerely trying to kill the church, now becomes a part of the church, and dedicates his life in service to Christ in the church. And you read about all of the hard things that Paul goes through. I mean, numerous times people want to kill him. There's times he was stoned. Numerous times he's thrown in prison. He's beaten. He is slandered. He is hated against. He has been shipwrecked. He is a prisoner for years of Rome. He eventually dies that way, by the way. His second, or technically maybe you would say is the third time that Paul was ever arrested, he didn't get out of that one alive. And all of the horrible things that happened to him, you know what's amazing about it? They're an evidence that Paul truly, sincerely saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. And if Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, then Jesus rose from the dead. Isn't that evidence of blessing for our lives? In fact, when you go and you examine the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and you try to say, well, did he do it for money? Did he do it for sex? Did he do it for women? Did he do it for popularity? Did he do it for love? Did he do it? The only explanation, you know, rationally and logically, is the simple fact that when he was going to kill Christians, Jesus met him on that road. Do you see how his life in doing right has influenced us to this very day? Yeah. Church, sometimes when we go through hardships in life, we may be crippled with fear. We may be crippled with, I don't know what to do. And all of those things we would say are very normal. But when we remain faithful to God, we become a shining light ultimately that in turn encourages others to follow Christ. It really does. You know, maybe sermons will influence you to live right. I hope so. The preaching of God's word is designed to do that, right? But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to get up and preach a sermon every Sunday in order to influence others to follow Jesus. And sometimes in life, when people are looking at you and I the most, it's sometimes in the darkest of days that a Christian lets his or her light shine. People see it. You know, ultimately, we get a chance to represent God in trials. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we may not always have an explanation for our trials, but I do want to tell you this. Even if we don't have an explanation, it's still a great opportunity to show the love of God. I'll give you an example. In Acts chapter 11, as I said earlier, a famine is coming to Jerusalem. Why is that? I don't know. But it was a great opportunity for the early church to show their love towards one another and to others, wasn't it? Or how about in Acts chapter 16 when the Apostle Paul cast out a demon from a girl, and as a result of that, her owners become angry because they can't make money off of her anymore, and they have him thrown in prison. And at midnight, the Bible says, as here they are in prison, are praising God and praying to God and singing hymns to Him. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And you know, when you read Acts chapter 16, because Paul was faithful in that situation and glorified God, the good that came as a result of that, you had more souls saved. You had the church being protected now by the Roman government. I mean, I could go on and give you a lot of benefits from that. And the point is, we don't always know why, but we can do good and show God's love as a result. I remember several years ago when there was flooding in southern West Virginia. And I'll never forget how as a church we rallied together and, you know, not only delivered a bunch of goods to that area, but some of us went down there and helped out a lot, right? I don't know why that flood occurred, but it did serve as a great opportunity for the church to show God's love, didn't it? Yeah. So, whenever hard times come, because they come, sometimes they stay, sometimes they go, sometimes they get worse. And I know many of us are like, I don't want them to come, but they still do. The Bible still teaches us to give thanks. To give thanks in all circumstances. There are many other specific reasons we could give thanks, but I think these things are more of just general observations for us to reflect in our own life when they do come. You know, maybe you're living a life of sin this morning and you've brought a lot of hardship on your life, and I want you to understand, I want you to know that as a result of that, God still loves you. And there is many reasons to give thanks for His grace and for His goodness in the circumstances you're in, and His continued unconditional love and His desire for you to become one of His disciples today. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God and you want to turn away from a life of sin, that's what repentance is. You can confess that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, and we'll baptize you, as the Bible teaches, to rise to walk in that new life, as Romans 6:3-4